is now time for the Bible Answers program, in which we present a frank and earnest discussion of Bible truths in an endeavor to answer your questions. Our subject for this program is When a Man Dies. The knowledge of the plan of God takes the sting out of death. Ed, I would like to get your view on what the Bible teaches as to what happens when a person dies. In these days of this nuclear age, life is very complex, and by the pressing of a button, millions of lives may be destroyed. In view of this, one cannot help but wonder what happens after death. We all know people who do not accept Christ as their Savior, but certainly are not wicked or evil. What happens to them when they die? But first, this program is brought to you by the Dawn Bible Students Association, publishers of the Dawn magazine, in cooperation with local Bible classes and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. Now, Ed, what is the Bible's answer to my question, what happens when a man dies?
Russell, so far as the next moment after death is concerned, both the righteous and the unrighteous are unconscious. In the third chapter of Job, the prophet describes all classes of the dead, the rich, the poor, the great, the small, the young, the old, the wicked, and the weary. He speaks of them as all being prisoners who rest together in death.
But you don't mean by that, I know, that there is no life after death for either the righteous or the unrighteous.
Far from it, Russell. While the Scriptures clearly teach that when a man dies, he is really dead, the Bible just as emphatically states that those in death shall live again.
In other words, the hope of life held out in the Word of God for both the saint and the unbeliever is that they will be awakened from the sleep of death in the resurrection.
That's correct. The Bible assures us of this in John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. Will you read the passage for us, please?
Yes, I will be glad to. It reads, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in their graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation."
Now, will you notice, Russell, that according to Jesus' own words, there are to be two classes in the resurrection, those who have done good and those who have done evil. But mind you, both groups are said to be resurrected, and the resurrection is set forth in the Scriptures as a blessing. So it must be that those who have not done good are in some way to be blessed.
Just a moment, Ed. The text says that those who have done evil shall come forth to a resurrection of damnation. I'm sure that that's what it said when I read it. And that's a word that doesn't sound very much like a blessing.
You're reading from the Common Version translation. The Revised Version gives us the proper thought. It says that those who have not done good shall come forth to the resurrection of judgment.
Does that mean that those who die without accepting Christ are to have another chance?
Well, I don't believe I'd put it just that way, for in reality, it will be their first genuine opportunity. In Isaiah 26:9, we are told that when the judgments of the Lord are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness.
And what about that, Ed? In the judgment day, mankind will have an opportunity to learn righteousness?
Yes, and it implies, you see, that those who are thus blessed did not have such an opportunity in this life. And these are the ones who come forth from the grave to a resurrection of judgment. That will be a time of enlightenment when the way will be made plain. These are all scriptural promises which apply to that future period of probation for all those who have had not a full opportunity in this life to believe and follow in the footsteps of Christ. God's provision for those who pass through that testing time is for them to enjoy everlasting life here on the earth as humans. On the other hand, those who in this life are good enough for heaven will have a heavenly reward.
Ed, I realize, of course, that the essential thing is the acceptance of Christ as our personal Savior. But surely there is more to being qualified for a heavenly reward than merely saying, I believe.
Yes, indeed, Russell. Thereafter, one must devote his life to the doing of God's will through joy and sorrow, demonstrate that he loves God with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength. And he must continue this even unto death.
Ed, you would not say that all those who do not meet such a standard of righteousness and of loyalty to God are necessarily wicked or evil, would you?
Not at all, Russell. The vast majority of them are all fine, good people.
But not good enough for heaven. That's what you're trying to impress me with.
Well, you might put it that way. If they pass the tests of the judgment day, they will receive the blessing in which they are most interested, and that is perfect human life in a world delivered from war and sickness and death and all the other evils which afflict the earth today.
Ed, you say if they pass the tests of the judgment day. Would you mind enlarging on that thought just a little bit? What do you mean by if they pass the tests?
That's a very scriptural thought, Russell. Jesus spoke of those who have not done good as coming forth to the resurrection of judgment. Jesus here used the Greek word crisis. It has the same meaning as our English word crisis, and as we know, the crisis of any experience is the time when the issue is determined.
What will be the issue to be decided with respect to those who come forth in the resurrection of judgment?
It'll be the issue of life and death.
Well, isn't that issue settled for each individual before he dies?
No, Russell, no it isn't. That issue is settled at death only for those who accepted Christ and who have agreed to follow in his footsteps. But for the others, God's time for dealing with them is in the future day of judgment. It is for this purpose that they will be brought forth in the resurrection.
Do you mean that people will have an opportunity to repent and turn to God after death?
Russell, if that's not true, then there would be very few indeed of all the millions on earth who will ever have an opportunity for salvation. Besides, God's plan of salvation through Christ was made for the very purpose of giving people who have died an opportunity to be saved from death. Take Adam, for instance. It was primarily for Adam that Jesus died, yet Adam knew nothing of this provision because he went into death thousands of years before Jesus died to redeem him. In dying for Adam, Jesus also died for all his posterity who were dead before Jesus came. If God's grace were not extended to them after death, they too would know nothing about it. And millions have died since Jesus came who have not known anything about him. Yet he died to save them also. The Apostle Paul says that it is God's will that all shall be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. The little book, When a Man Dies, covers all these points and many more. Russell, would you like to tell our listeners about When a Man Dies and how they may obtain a copy free?
I will, gladly, Ed. Friends, the little book, When a Man Dies, is one which you really should read. It will be sent to you free upon your request with no obligation. Its subject matter is introduced by the story of a man who dreamed that he had died. It was not a pleasant dream, but When a Man Dies examines the scriptural testimony in an endeavor to ascertain if his dream was in keeping with reality and Bible. Here are some of the questions you will find answered in When a Man Dies. Will there be an opportunity to believe in Christ after death? Does the love of God for a dying race extend beyond the portals of death? When the righteous die, do they go immediately to their reward? Is there an intermediate state? What is the judgment day? How long is it? And what is its purpose? What is the Bible hell? These are but some of the questions you will find answered in When a Man Dies. Here is a gift that increases our appreciation of the love of God and makes us feel like saying, that is just the kind of a God I want to worship. So send now for When a Man Dies. Address your request to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. The address again for your convenience, Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Ask for When a Man Dies, and it will be sent to you free through the mail.
Send for your free booklet today. Mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. This program is brought to you by the Dawn Bible Students Association in cooperation with local Bible study groups and the Friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. To repeat, mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. Ask your friends to listen, won't you please? And now, goodbye, and may God bless you.